Our scripture passages are not from the lectionary, as we usually do. We chose these specially to inspire our message. From the Old Testament, we have Proverbs 16, 1 through 10 from the Message, which is a translation in more modern language. Mortals make elaborate plans, but God has the last word. Humans are satisfied with whatever looks good. God probes for what is good. Put God in charge of your work. Then what you've planned will take place. God made everything with a place and purpose. Even the wicked are included, but for judgment. God can't stomach arrogance or pretense. Believe me, he'll put those upstarts in their place. Guilt is banished through love and truth. Fear of God deflects evil. When God approves of your life, even your enemies will end up shaking your hand. Far better to be right and poor than to be wrong and rich. We plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. It pays to take life seriously. A good leader motivates, doesn't mislead, doesn't exploit. And the New Testament passages are from the New Revised Standard Version. Our gospel lesson comes from Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The epistle's lesson is from Romans 12, verses 1 through 13. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry, ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate one in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor, do not lag in zeal. Here, be ardent. I had to kind of rewrite some of these. My printer was running out of ink. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. And this ends the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God.
So you notice we're doing a message, not a sermon. And it's our mission of discovery. And what we've discovered is that our search for a new pastor is a slow and steady progress. A lot of people thought, oh, pastor nominating committee, just fill out some forms, check a box, put it on the internet, and boom, you've got a pastor. Well, there's a lot more that goes on to that. And what's happened is that you've elected us as your pastor nominating committee, and we have been meeting for 6 months now, and we meet twice a month, about 2 hours each time, so that's four hours a month that we're meeting. That's a lot of time to do discernment. The first thing we discovered when we were doing our discernment process is that we needed to do spiritual discernment. We've always been looking for an administrator the person who can, you know, do the office, fill out a bulletin, check the boxes. And we really need to look more for our spiritual needs. And we had several wonderful discussions with Kathy Goodrich, and she's our Yellowstone presbyter. And she kind of opened her eyes to go beyond the checking on the box and finding the administrative pastor to seek more spiritual direction. She recommended us studying the books of Acts, and we started doing that in Sunday school last spring, and we'll continue doing that this year. She also recommended us a whole bunch of books to read. I've read one and started the second. Cynthia and Dave and Annette and Bob have all been reading information to continue our discernment process, and it's really helped us a lot on our journey. Just saying, this discernment process is very study, and we're very prayerful in this process. And people have talked to me saying, let's hurry up and get this done. We want this process done as soon as possible. And we're notice that if you start taking shortcuts, it's kind of like doing a paint job. If you do the shortcuts, your paint job does not turn out as well as it could be. You know, you scrimp on the preparations. The edges would be sloppy because you didn't do a good taping job. The paint cover is uneven because you didn't scrape and sand. You run out of paint in the middle of the job because you didn't calculate carefully how much you would need. Paint got on the carpet or a piece of furniture because you didn't put a drop cloth everywhere where it needed. So through this experience that we've learned, the lack of preparation can be disastrous when it comes to painting. Well, that's the same with our leadership discernment. We do want someone to preach every Sunday, but I think we need to look for someone who can challenge us a little more spiritually. Currently, for 2019, we don't have the funds to hire a pastor, and I think we've been very blessed with pulpit supply. The messages that people have shared, several of them, I felt were talking directly to me. And then when I shared the discussion with someone else, they were like, no, that pastor was talking to me. Someone else says, no, that pastor was talking to me. So I think this is kind of a great avenue for us to feel what spiritual needs do we really have. Also, we had an elder deacon retreat on helping us with the discernment process, and we found that very helpful with the feedback. And we did a flip chart. I put the summary of the information in one of our net newsletters. And after all that information and sharing, pastor nominating committee went, oh, wow, that's a lot of information. Help! Kathy Goodrich, come over here, help! And so she helped us some more. What I'd like to do with you is share a video, a little short version, a shorter version than what we shared with the elders and deacons, and it's called The Question Why, and it's from Simon Sinek, and it's going to share why we're doing what we're doing, or help look at the why. And an example of the why, if I could do the first slide, is for a PSA on the news. David had decided that we needed some gardeners, and so he was going to put this in the ad. Garden plots available at St. Andrew Community Garden off 24th Street and Cook. Contact St. Andrew for more information and application forms. Sounds good. But does it really talk to you? Does it make you want to get the garden, get a garden plot? So let's watch the video. As you can see, St. Andrew is very good about what we do, how we do it, but we're not very good at explaining why we do it. As you remember that PSA that I first showed you, after watching the video why, and we watched the, hour-long or 45-minute version versus the shorter version, David created a new PSA. Compare it to the one that you just saw. And this is how we put the why in St. Andrew. Do you love getting back to nature and enjoying the pleasure of growing our own fresh vegetables? Then share our joy in gardening and join in the community of gardeners at St. Andrew Community Garden. Plots are now available. Call us for more information or download the application form at the website. Did this one sound a lot more appealing to you? Did this one get your attention? So with the help of this video and other stuff that we're doing, we are now looking at more of the why of St. Andrew versus what. When we read the scriptures of Romans, when Jesus is talking, or when they're sharing Jesus' message, the first sentence is a why. And then it goes into the what's and the how's. So when you start reading the Bible in the future, look at the why. Where's the why? It's usually almost always in the beginning. And then it might be in the middle to wrap up the what and the how.
We are on a journey to find out what our mission is, why we are here, and to find a new pastor. So I'd like to share a story with you. And it's from this book called Canoeing the Mountains. Ben has a slide of it, by Todd Bolsinger. It was mainly written for leaders, but I got a lot out of it. Leaders of the church, I should say. So I'd like to share this story with you about the core of discovery. Lewis and Clark were sent on a mission to find a water route to the Pacific Ocean. When the Corps reached St. Louis, they followed the Missouri River. They assumed the waters that had taken them to the east of the Rocky Mountains would be much the same on the other side. It would be gently rising peaks of the mountains. They'd seen mountains before, back east. The Mandan Indians had told Lewis and Clark there would be mountains to cross. They weren't worried. Again, as I said, they'd seen mountains before. The Appalachian Mountains with their rounded tops covered with trees. If you've ever been back east to those, you know what it looks like compared to our Rockies. They had seen mountains and knew this wouldn't be a problem. From a distance, the pink peaks loomed ahead of them, and for miles, it did not register to them that they were different. When Lewis reached the Lemhi Pass, hoping to find a river to float down to the Pacific, he faced a brutal truth. There would be no river passage, only higher and higher mountains to cross. Lewis had planned to explore this new world by boat. He had to change his plan. The core of discovery was entering uncharted territory. The church is like the core of discovery. It started as a small group of people willing to head into uncharted territory with a mission worthy of the utmost dedication. We at St. Andrew are on a new path, searching to determine our mission as a church, and in the future, finding a pastor who feels they can help us in this mission. The answer is not to try harder, but to start a new adventure. The world in front of us is rapidly changing from the things behind us. We need to identify what we want to change and what we want to hold on to. Change is scary. It can be daunting. Do we fear change? Yes, sometimes we do, but change can be good. In this time, we are approaching unfamiliar territory, uncharted territory. Remember the sermon Reverend Kim Wastey gave about Zacchaeus? He took the risk. He came down from the tree and started a new life. Saul did the same after his encounter with the voice of Jesus on the road to Damascus. The Pastoral Nominating Committee has been researching what we at St. Andrew need to do in order to prepare ourselves for the future. We have been looking at things we might need to change and what and why we would do so. The question why is important.
Sandy and Cynthia have laid the basis for my kind of a wrap-up of our message for you this morning. She said, we chose the scripture readings today for their relevance to the journey that we're on. Our theme, a mission of discovery, is borrowing from Lewis and Clark's core of discovery. Cynthia so well described just now the challenge that they found when their plans did not meet the expected terrain that they encountered. They had to rethink before they could proceed. The reading from Proverbs this morning speaks to how we humans want to make elaborate plans, but God has the last word and guides us sometimes in unexpected ways. How true that was for Lewis and Clark, and how true that is for St. Andrew today as we plan for our future. In our scripture from Matthew, we read that God calls us to be the salt of the earth and to let our light shine before others that our works may lead others to God. The example we display of followers of Christ is the light that we shine in the Billings community. And finally, in Romans, Paul calls us not to be transformed by the world, but to transform by changing our minds. He tells us that we are all members of one body, each of us with our own talents to contribute to the whole body. We are living in a time of change, when many traditional churches are fading. We are not unique, as the majority of Presbyterian churches today have less than 100 members. But those churches that are speaking to new generations and adjusting to changing culture are flourishing. Our mission of discovery is to discern God's will for us to flourish. We need to hold on to what is good, what is valued, while at the same time shining our light from a hill and adapting our message to be meaningful to a changing world. There's one constant in life, change. There has always been change, and there will always be change. Just think back 50 or 100 years to your parents' ancestors and their generation and consider what is different today. Author Phyllis Tickle, in her book, The Great Emergence, How Christianity is Changing and Why, sees how approximately every 500 years the Christian church has experienced historic, monumental shifts in spirituality and Christian life. Christ's life and message mark the beginning. In 500 AD, Pope Gregory instituted major changes of upheaval that brought the church out of the Dark Ages. In 1000 AD, the Great Schism between the Eastern and the Western churches took place. And 500 years ago, the Protestant Reformation, followed by the Catholic Reformation, created cataclysmic changes in Christian practice and thought. Tickle notes that after each revolution, new ways of Christian living and spiritual life emerged and became institutionalized, only to be brought into new tension in a changing world in the following centuries. At each turning point, there has been a seismic upheaval and change before the new patterns emerge. 500 years later, we may be well experiencing one of those seismic upheavals, given it and driven by a changing world. Yes, the times, they are changing. And if Phyllis Tickle's theory is right, a newer and a stronger faith can emerge in the aftermath. So as we begin our discussion of St. Andrew's place in a changing world, that video of the questions why sparked our focus on the core values and the purpose of St. Andrew. In our April session and Deacon's Retreat, we used this video and a longer one also on the canoeing the Montanans as a basis for discussion. Three breakout groups spent time discussing and responding to the question of why for St. Andrew. The early church in Jerusalem, following Jesus' departure, also went through a formative stage to figure out their why and to map a future. There is a poignant statement that we found in our study of the book of Acts that reflects on both their time and our time. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. We, like them, spend time in worship, prayer, and study, and break bread together and enjoy the company of one another. As we reviewed and collated the responses from the three retreat groups, we found a similar pattern of things at St. Andrew. The first related to our spiritual life of worship, prayer, pursuing God's will, and growing in faith. The second grouping identified how we value being part of a supportive family and a community. Here are some lists that we winnowed from those that were put together by or recorded by the three groups. The first one, they're probably a little long. I won't leave them up or try and read them all to you, but do we have those lists to go up? Well, guess we don't have it. Okay. Then I will just speak to that. Maybe we'll put them in the next net. That might be a good way to do that. We're in a grouping of those things about our spiritual life and then those things that we value about being together and being supportive and being part of one another. This was a good start, but now we seek to engage all of you in this mission of discovery and discernment. The five members of the PNC can't do this by themselves, and we can't be done just by input from the elders and the deacons. Every one of you needs to play a role in guiding the future of St. Andrew. The PNC members recently met with the deacons and asked that they act as a liaison to contact all of the members of the St. Andrew community and solicit their inputs and their ideas. They are using several questions, including, what is important to you as core values of St. Andrew? Why? What would you like to have retained in the future? What changes would you like to see? Oh, here we now have the listing. These are the family and community. I'll just leave it a moment. You can glance down through it. Not time to read all of them. But there were a lot of them. Is there the second slide then? This is the second slide of family and community. No matter. We will put those out. It was probably too much to read at one time anyway. So from these questions, we look forward to hearing your responses. Please take some time to think about this. Your inputs will guide us as we move on, and we will share what we learn from you. The cover of today's bulletin reflects explorers straining to see what lies ahead. We are hoping for an exciting mission of discovery with hope and faith in God for the future that lies ahead.